Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. But if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. Magnus Consulting and SBR Consulting have just launched a timely report on how to deliver deep growth in a disruptive market. And in it, they pose the question, is it time to rethink marketing, sales and customer success? I'm joined today by Teresa Allen and Alan Morton to talk about the report that they did and its findings. Teresa, Alan, welcome to our podcast.
Great to be here, Dave.
It's great to have you here. So first off, why don't you tell us a bit about yourselves and your organisations? And Teresa, why don't you start?
Sure. Thanks, Dave. So Magnus Consulting is a B2B growth consultancy, and we believe that there is ultimately a better way to do business, to reach and retain customers, and to create long-lasting value for employees, shareholders, and society. We work with ambitious scale-ups and enterprise organisations to help them grow and thrive.
Great. And it's good to have you here. And how about you, Alan?
Well, similar to Teresa, our shared interest is growth. And we'd very much position as a consultancy that focuses on growth and specifically revenue acceleration, really through optimizing the way that their sales functions and teams engage, both internally and externally. So classically, people, process, tools and tech, but very much focused at ambitious organizations where the sense is that potentially external factors that have driven growth need to be replaced with a real engine that will drive growth sustainably as we all navigate the inevitable ups and downs of market conditions.
Right. Well, look, it's good to have you both here on our podcast today. So let's dive into this report then. So simple question. Is it time to get rid of marketing, sales, and customer success and instead create one big growth function?
All right. So let's start with a big question. So Alan and I came together as kind of marketing and sales specialists to kind of say we think that, you know, there is a better way of doing things. And we know that alignment fosters performance. Loads of research show this, you know, that companies with stronger alignment ultimately perform better, have higher customer retention rates, and 38% higher sales wins. So who doesn't want that? And in the discussions that Alan and I had before we wrote the paper was that what we're seeing over and over again with our clients is the problem with the existing model where marketing, sales, and customer success are separate functions is that most of the time they're not united behind a shared goal. And this leads to conflict and silos. Ultimately, you know, there's very few or well-working closed feedback loops. Opportunities are lost, lessons are not fully learned. And then when we all see things getting a little bit tight, it can start to create a culture of finger pointing and land grabbing. You're nodding, Dave, as if you've kind of understanding, you've been there. So it got us thinking that actually, if we wrap all of the three ingredients of marketing, sales and customer success into a single growth function based around or united behind different customer groups, that actually we could change this. So we could create a single unified team that aligns behind strategic objectives, synchronizes KPIs, and really has that one goal, which is ultimately to be truly customer centric, to deliver mutual value and mutual benefit. So it's not throwing everything out. It's not different people. It's the same people doing things in a different way to enable that customer centricity. And we're pulling on the existing skill sets and kind of focusing on nurturing kind of deeper customer relationships.
Okay. And Alan, I take it you'd answer the, given your co-authors of the report, I'm interested, would you answer that question in the same way?
Yeah, very much. And what was interesting when Teresa and I first started talking about this was that there was that shared recognition of the challenges that we often observe when we go into organizations. And to a certain extent, I think a lot of people who work within those organizations are more than aware of those challenges, and actually to an extent are crying out for a real clarity and alignment and the opportunity to work in a way where the sum is greater, or the combination of the capabilities is really pointed in the right direction, which is to the needs of the customer, as opposed to short-term objectives which serve them personally well but aren't necessarily driving value for either organization, their own organization or the customers that they serve.
Okay, and this is about driving deep growth, which is kind of certainly a bit of an unfamiliar term to me and maybe to some of our listeners. So can you help us define terms here? What is deep growth?
Sure. So we've termed deep growth as growth that's ultimately deep rooted. So it's not transitory. So the relationship between the brand and the client is solid. It's based on trust. And it has that deeper understanding, much like partnership. So ultimately, deep growth goes on to reduce churn, creates advocacy, and win kind of, you know, referrals, which are hard won. And there is also another level of that, you know, that kind of very much aligns with sustainable growth. So it's doing things in the right way to ultimately better serve the needs of everyone involved.
And it comes, I think, you say, from a kind of need to be more customer centric. So I wonder if you could explain a bit more about why customer centricity is important in all of this.
Absolutely. And you're right to highlight that really sits at the heart of this, as the customer should do. And again, easy thing to say, but unfortunately not frequently delivered upon. So, you know, I think the reasons for customer centricity, when we step back and think about them, it's what we all want. We want to have better win rates. We want to have better retention rates. We want to really be able to not just respond to needs, but actually be able to position ourselves as the mythical trusted advisor that so many of us aspire to, where we're actually involved in not just helping resolve challenges once they've occurred, but helping clients navigate around those challenges because of an awareness in terms of, you know, their context that they're operating in, and our ability to join the dots in terms of actually we can potentially help. But obviously we can only help once we've seen the world through their eyes, as opposed to, I think if we look at the opposite and some of the things that get in the way that we talk a lot about in the report, too many people have fallen into the trap of thinking short-term. So it's short-term objectives, short-term goals. And that naturally then leads on to short-term behaviors and thinking, and people aren't getting their head up and thinking about how can we really add lasting value. So back to the point that we were just talking about, deep growth isn't transitory. Deep growth is really partnering to mutual benefit. And I think the advantages of that are clear, as we mentioned, commercially, as well as hopefully from the perspective of we'd all want to deliver value to our clients. We should, and I'm sure we all aspire to do that. Sometimes we get pulled into that short-term behavior, which, you know, maybe isn't necessarily delivering all the value that we could to our clients.
So how much here are you putting together a number of different trends that you see to kind of set a direction versus actually reporting on stuff that is already underway? Because we've seen a rise, haven't we, in chief growth officer roles. So is there a sense in which actually what you're talking about is already happening in the market?
I think there's definitely a trend towards that. I mean, it's interesting you point to the rise in the title Chief Growth Officer. I think what's interesting when we then look underneath what's actually involved in someone being a Chief Growth Officer and how would they define the role, often it's still just looking at part of the puzzle. For example, we recently attended and spoke at a conference where there are a number of people with the Chief Growth Officer title. And when we asked them to define what that involved, lots of them didn't mention customer success, despite the fact that customer success exists in those organizations that seem to be somewhat separate, which, you know, on the basis of the idea of actually how do we land and expand and add value to customers through being better integrated and aligned with their needs over time working with them, it, again, I think points to the fact that people are the title but not necessarily responsibilities. And then we start thinking, well, are there truly shared objectives? Is there alignment across the team in terms of processes, understanding of the end-to-end customer journey, how they can serve? So I think there's a definite trend and there's indicators. I think underneath title, though, we have to ask ourselves, is there really the alignment that we're advocating here as frequently as there should be?
So the business is about more than just job title, you're saying, huh?
Absolutely.
I'm suggesting that might be the
that
case.
Might but be the case.
It's a great first step.
So going back to deep growth then, and I'm sure you kind of articulated quite well how where customer centricity comes in, but what would be your guide to listeners as to how to go about achieving deep growth?
So within our deep growth report, we have created a maturity model of deep growth. So I think it's a good place to start. So you can recognize where you are on the journey to ultimately unification, which is what we're working towards. So there are four stages, the first one being siloed. And if you then look at the performance of a siloed organization, it's very much dependent on external market conditions. It becomes very hard to predict and it becomes very an uncomfortable place to be at a senior level when you're reporting on what's, you know, forecasting what's going to happen in the future. The next stage is, I think, which is where we see a lot of clients is connected. So ultimately, they know that there's bridges between sales, marketing and customer success, but they are still working with different KPIs. They're working, you know, the tech doesn't connect as well as it could do. And there's definitely not those feedback loops, but they are talking. And in terms of performance, you know, we start to see that actually, especially within tech organizations, performance is starting to slow as the market matures. Yeah. And they've got very little visibility of the timeline of when's that going to happen and what's going to happen next. We see that over and over again. Then we move to aligned, which I think is ultimately a great place to aim for, where sustainable growth that withstands most market pressures and has that higher level of predictability. And that's because those three teams are connected. You know, they are really customer focused and they're working together. They're connected by processes and tech and everything else and ultimately goals. And then there's unified, which, you know, ultimately we look at that should outperform the market on both net new kind of and retention, has a high visibility on future performance and market fluctuations because there are people dedicated to looking at that and actually looking outside in instead of always inside out. And what that does is, you know, de-risk the business. It makes it more valuable. And that's the ultimate goal, whether it's a completely unified team under the Chief Growth Officer or if it's fully unified, but, you know, still actually keeping the different top job titles, as you referred to.
It's a great model. How do you, thinking of the growth team themselves, how do you go about measuring their success?
So I think when we look at that, there's a couple of areas that we'd really call out as key metrics and indicators. One is, you know, customer lifetime value. You know, clearly that should be increasing. And it's interesting, when we initially launched the report, we ran a session, we did a poll, and it was remarkable how few people had that measure already in place. So, you know, there's an immediate call to action there in terms of, do we know what our customer lifetime value is, which, you know, really should be an outcome of doing a lot of the things that we're talking about, greater customer centricity, aligning organization, and really striving towards that deep growth. Alongside that, you know, NPS is a great measure in terms of understanding the extent to which we're really building the advocacy that Teresa's talked about should again come as a result of a focus and determined approach to achieving deep growth within clients. So, you know, those two aspects straight away. But, you know, alongside that, you know, there absolutely should be, and we can see, Teresa mentioned them at the start, you know, around alignment. There are some often repeated statistics and figures around increased retention rates, win rates, you know, 38% increases, 36% increases by getting that alignment, which is essentially is focused around the customer, as opposed to, as we've said a couple of times, that short-term focus on terms of net new sales, for example. Obviously important to have a view on that, but we suggest customer lifetime value is probably a better measure of if you're getting this right.
It's a fascinating piece of thinking. So if people want to get their hands on the report, what should they do? And also, if people want to find out more, what steps should they take?
So if you go to either our websites, you'll find the report. Dave, do you want me to say what our websites are?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. And we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Fine, I'll start that again. So if you want to download the report, you can find them on both of our websites. So magnusconsulting.co.uk and
sbrconsulting.com.
And then if you want to dig deeper, we are running webinars, you know, specifically targeting at scale-up tech organizations, SaaS organizations. This is particularly relevant for. Right. We also have a deep growth accelerator assessment, which we are then running with those that really want to kind of take that further and start to implement it.
And I guess both of you are available for discussions on LinkedIn and all other good marketing networks as well.
Absolutely. Always happy to have a conversation, bounce thoughts around, and you know, if that's useful, more than happy to allocate time.
Brilliant. Teresa, Alan Morton, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks,
pleasure, Dave.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Teresa Allen and Alan Morton. And thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.